Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto. This is the story of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj and Vamanadev, Vamanavatar, Trivikram. So Vamanadev, there's one verse here. We want to discuss two points this evening. One about Guru, Pravritti Guru and Nivritti Guru. Two types of Guru, Pravritti, and Nivritti. Nivritti Guru and Pravritti Guru. And we want to talk about three types of cheaters. Three types of cheaters and one non-cheater. So we'll try to discuss these things. Shukadeva Goswami is narrating to King Parikshit at Shukratala on the banks of the Ganga. He's saying, listen, Parikshit, I'm telling you an ancient history. It's a history about a great personality, Bali Maharaj. When Bali Maharaj was advised by his spiritual master, Shukracharya, his family priest, Kula Acharya. Kula means family. So Shukracharya, see what happened, some background to the story. The Kula Guru, the family guru of Bali Maharaj was Shukracharya. Shukracharya, he's the guru of the demons. We have Brihaspati. Brihaspati is the guru of the Vaishnavas or devotees, the devas. And the demons also have their gurus. Same as modern age. Demons have their gurus. The gurus, the movie stars are the gurus. And the pious religious people, they also have their gurus, genuine spiritual gurus. But there's also materialistic gurus. So Shukracharya, he was some type of guru. And he was instructing Bali Maharaj. And he taught him many things. And this Krishna came in the form of Vaman, 52. So he was a small boy, 52 inches. That means 4 feet, 4 inches tall. He's very small, Vaman. So they say he was a dwarf Brahman. He wasn't a dwarf. Dwarf is a particular anomaly. An abnormality is someone is a dwarf. It means their body is deformed. His body was not deformed at all. They say the dwarf Brahman. Sometimes in English they say the dwarf Brahman Vamanadev. Dwarf means like a deformed type. There's a meaning. It's like adult, whatever. I forget. There's a definition. So he was a fully grown person, but he appeared like a young boy. Avatar, one of the Das Avatars. Vaman Maharaj. So he appeared in the assembly, and Shukracharya had previously instructed Bali Maharaj about Dan Niyam, the rules and regulations for giving charity. Kala Desha Patra, what day to give charity is the best day, what time to give charity is the best day, what places to give charity is the best place, who is the best person to give charity to. Then you can give to a hospital, you can give to a school, or you can give to a beggar, someone really hungry, or a deformed person, a leper, or a crippled person, or you can give to a Brahmin, Brahmin Dan, because they represent Vishnu, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitkraya, Jat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namaha. So when you give to a Brahmin, you're giving to God, or you can give to a Vaishnava Brahmin, or you can give to a Guru, all different levels, different hierarchy. Giving charity. I mean, Shukracharya instructed Bali Maharaj on these principles. And Shukracharya is told, he said, actually the highest form of Dan is to give to God, to give to Vishnu, Vishnu Dan. Some people give their property to the temple, they die and they leave their house to the temple. That means they're giving charity to Vishnu. Of course, it's his property anyway. Ultimately, everything belongs to God. Shukracharya, he said, this is the greatest form of charity, to give to Vishnu. So now Vishnu has come as a young Brahmin, Vamanadev, and he has asked the king Bali, please, I would like some charity. And Bali said, yes, I am controlling the universe, I'm sitting in Indraloka, I have defeated Indradev. Bali Maharaj defeated Indradev, he was sitting on his throne, enjoying all of the pleasures of the heavenly planet. So he said, I can offer you everything. I can offer you a planet. I can give you a whole planet. What to speak of giving some land in charity, give a few cows to a Brahmin in charity, or to give some land. I can give you one planet, one whole planet I can give you. And Vamanadeva said, no, I'm not so greedy. I don't want any planets. I only want three steps. Three steps. One, two, three. Three steps. That's all. No more. Bali Maharaj was thinking, such a small boy. He's only 52 inches tall, 4 feet 4 inches tall. His three steps are very small. Small steps. One, two, three, maybe 2 feet, maybe 2 feet, one step, and 2 feet, three steps. One boy takes three steps, it covers 6 feet of territory. Yes? 6 feet. This boy is coming to me, to Bali Maharaj, who is controlling the universe. All the demigods are trembling in fear. They simply mention my name. Bali is coming. Bali is coming. Oh, Bali, oh, don't attack us. Don't attack us. Yes, Bali Maharaj is attacking our planet, sir. Well, immediately surrender. So everyone would just surrender at his feet. He was so powerful. He had so much power. You're only asking me for 6 feet of land? It's like going to Bill Gates and saying, Bill Gates, I would like to beg some charity. He said, yes, what would you like? I want 5 rupees. Achha, 5 rupees. Okay, 5 rupees. It's nothing. It's nothing at all. 6 feet of, when you control the whole universe, what is 6 feet of land compared to the whole universe? What is 6 feet of land compared to the whole planet? Of course, if it's in Goragaon, that 6 feet costs 50,000 rupees or 100,000 rupees, 50,000 rupees a square yard or something. So that's 2 square yards, it'll cost you 1 lakh. Land has become so costly. And Bali Maharaj, he said, yes, if that's all you want, yes, all right, I will give you 3 steps of land. No, stop. Don't. Shukracharya says, listen, stop, don't. Hey, don't. What do you, this is not some boy, this is not some Brahmin boy begging charity, some innocent boy. Do you know what? This is Vishnu. He will take away everything. Everything he will take away. With one step, he'll take everything. This is Krishna. He takes everything away. So Shukracharya is telling, don't give him anything. And Bali Maharaj said, but Guruji, you told me that we should give to Vishnu. And Vishnu's coming here as Vaman. And I don't recognize him as Vishnu, but if you're telling, he looks like a Brahmin boy, but if you're telling that he's Vishnu, all right, all the better. No. But whatever I've given you, whatever I've developed, it will be gone. So in this verse, what we read, after his guru said that, his guru said, listen, I'm warning you, don't say yes. Because Vamanadeva asked for the land, and then Shukracharya, he interrupted. He said, listen, don't give him anything. I'm your guru, I'm giving you guru agya. Guru agya, I'm giving you instruction. Don't give any land to this person. By my mercy, by my mercy, you develop so much, you have so much vast kingdom. This is all by Guru Kripa. As we say in Hindi land, or Hindi, is it Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam? Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam. Everything is Guru Kripa. Keval. It's only this, Guru Kripa. This verse is telling, when his spiritual master advised him like this, Bali Maharaj remained silent for some time. Tushnim shanam means for a few moments he remained silent. Then after fully deliberating, he replied to his spiritual master as follows. So we have some notes from this verse we'll read from. But the question is asked by the acharyas, why did he remain silent? The verse is telling, the Sanskrit is telling, and the English is telling, the guru said, don't do this. Now generally, when the guru gives an order, the guru may say to the disciple, please, you go to the store and buy some milk for Thakurji. We have to make some rasgulla for Thakurji Seva. Ji Gurudev. And like this, Jai Gurudev. And then fold hands and go. Well, Gurudev gives the order. No, it's quiet. He's not saying, yes, Guruji, yes, yes, sir, yes, Guruji. Like in the office, I was in his office, and people, he says something, and the people work in his office say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And they're very much official, because he's the sir, and they're the servants. They're the servants. He's the sir, and they're the servants. So he says, so you do like this, do you like, yes, sir, yes, sir. But generally there's a response, but he was silent. So the acharyas, when they see this, why they ask, they always, the philosophers, what's the difference between a mundane person, between an ordinary materialistic person and a philosopher? What is the difference? The philosopher always asks the question, why? And the ordinary person, he only asks the question, who? He asks the question, who did it? He asks the question, what happened? And he asks the question, where it happened? And he asks the question, when it happened? Oh! You have a black eye. Your eye is all black. Who hit you? Did someone hit you? Yes, my wife hit me. That's sure. When did she do that? Where did she do that? In the market. Is that? And why, they may say also. But generally people don't ask why. The philosopher asks why. So the acharyas read the verse, they say, Mbali Maharaj, he fell silent and he deeply considered for a moment before he replied. His guru is wanting a reply. So please, don't give him any charity. You understand? Yes? So he should say, yes, Guru, yes, Guruji, I will not give him any charity. But he was quiet. The acharyas asked this question to him. Why was Mbali Maharaj silent? Not replying to his guru, Shukracharya. This Bali Maharaj, first of all, who is Bali Maharaj? He comes in a very illustrious family. His ancestor is Prahlad Maharaj. We heard the story of Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakashipu, Daitya. He was a Daitya Putra, the son of a demon, Daitya. Daitya Putra. Daitya, Hiranyakashipu was in Satyuga, very powerful demon, anti-religious person. He was not interested in God or religion. He was very proud and puffed up. He said, I am God, I'm powerful. Why do you have to do puja and all these Brahmins are doing puja and yajna? Just worship me. And he stopped all these things. He was very egoistic, very selfish, and very much had no interest. In fact, if anyone would ever mention the name of God or Vishnu, he would plug his ears like this. He wouldn't listen to the name of God. His son was Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was a great Vishnu Bhakta. Bhakta Prahlad. He's called Bhakta Prahlad. He was a great Vishnu Bhakta. So it's quite a paradox. The father is a demon, anti-religious, and the son is a pure devotee. Lord Nisringadev, Nisringa Avatar, he appeared to protect Prahlad Maharaj and he killed his father, Hiranyakashipu. This Bali Maharaj comes in his family. Lord Nisringadev, he gave a blessing. He said, Prahlad Maharaj, I give you a blessing that everyone that comes in your family lineage and your dynasty, they will all be very dear to me. Of course, his dynasty is a dynasty of demons, of non-devotees. But still, some of them, especially Bali Maharaj, are very much inclined and actually great devotees. When Prahlad Maharaj himself is describing Vishnu Bhakti, so Nisringadev, he blessed Bali Maharaj, everyone would be like dear to him in one way or another. The Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very good, Srimad Bhagavatam says, it was very good that Bali Maharaj rejected his guru, Sukracharya, and followed Vamanadeva. But if you read the Brihad Bhagavatamritam by Sanatan Goswami, he said this is not the reason. He's saying that Bali Maharaj got the mercy of the Lord. And Vamanadev, he got the mercy of the Lord, Vamanadev. Then he discusses two types of guru. There's Pravriti Guru and Nivriti Guru. This is very appropriate to modern time. Because in a modern day, people say, I have my guru, he's teaching me this, he's teaching me that. Everyone has, so many people have guru. But we have, it's not all one. So there's something called Nivriti Guru and Pravriti Guru. Nivriti means guru, Nivriti Guru, is teaching the path of renunciation, of detachment. Teaching the path of going to God. It's called Mukti Marg. Mukti Marg, Bhakti Marg, Vishnu, Bhakti Marg. He's teaching this path. And the Nivriti Guru is saying, yes, you don't have to follow any principles. You can eat what you like. If you want to be vegetarian, that is very nice. It is good for health to be vegetarian, but it's not a required. You follow my teachings. You don't have to. You can eat onion, garlic, veg, non-veg. It's all right. And all this sadhana, getting up early in the morning and chanting mantra, doing puja, taking bath, Bhagavad Pada, it is not required. You follow my teachings and everything will go nice. You simply be nice to one another, you keep a happy family, you be nice, you speak nicely, you get along with everyone and keep very peaceful, keep your mind peaceful. This is a very good way to. And people say, oh, this is very good teaching. This is very good. This is called Pravriti, Pravriti Guru. Pravriti Guru means, Pravriti Marg means he's teaching the path of do your own thing, basically. He's a guru who's encouraging you. He's encouraging you to stay in the material world, stay in the world of enjoyment, remain in the world of birth and death. But he presents it in a very poetic way, in a very flowery language, where he's so expert that the Pravriti Guru can make you feel very good. He can make you feel very good about staying in the samsara. He can make you feel very good about rotating in the karma chakra. He can make you feel very good about staying in the world of birth and death. You can have your cake and eat it too, as they say. You can have your cake and also eat it. So they're very popular now in Kali Yuga, Pravriti Gurus. Bali Maharaj didn't listen to his guru. His guru said, this boy is a little Brahmin, and he's asking for 3 steps of land, but he'll take everything. So Sanatana Goswami, although the Bhagavatam is saying that it's very good that Bali Maharaj went against his guru, because his guru is telling him to not given charity to Vamanadeva, because he'll take everything and you'll have nothing. You'll have no kingdom, you'll have no land, you'll have nothing. So Bhagavatam is saying it's good that he didn't listen to him. But Sanatana Goswami is saying, no, this is not good. It's very interesting. Different acharyas. He's saying there's a defect. There was an actual defect in Bali Maharaj, because he was not qualified. Bali Maharaj, there was a defect in Bali Maharaj's behavior, and so he was not qualified to get the mercy of God. Why was he not qualified? Because he actually offended his guru. Bali Maharaj, his guru gave him an agya, guru agya. And this verse, he was silent. Eighth canto Bhagavatam, chapter 20, first verse. It said this is the beginning of chapter 20, first verse. His guru said, you please, I'm warning you, don't give charity. I'm ordering you, don't give charity. He'll take everything. So then that's the last chapter ends. Now the first chapter, chapter 20 begins, after receiving that guru, that order from his guru, Bali Maharaj was silent for some moments. Tushnim shanam. He was silent for some moments, reflecting deeply. And after deliberating fully, he decided, I will not follow my guru. I will not listen to him. I will give charity. I will give charity to this Vaman avatar. So Sanatana Goswami says that he made offense to his guru. Why? Because guru is a representative of God. Vamanadeva is also Krishna. Krishna is the source. He's a Sarva Avatari. Krishna is the source of all the avatars. So Krishna is telling in Gita, and he's telling in Bhagavatam, he's saying in Bhagavatam, he says, Acharya Mam, the same Vamanadeva appears as Krishna and tells Uddhava, Acharya Mam Vijanayan, Navamanyeta Karichit. Acharya Mam Vijanayan. You should know very clearly that the Acharya is me. The Guru is me. Guru is God. Not that Guru is God in the sense of being the creator, the maintainer, destroyer. Guru is God in the sense that he's a representative of God. As the ambassador, the French ambassador, you can say, he is the ambassador to France. That means he is France. He is France. He's in Delhi, the French embassy. If someone, the Prime Minister of India, offends the ambassador to France, and that ambassador, if he is very close to the Prime Minister, he can start a war if he offends the ambassador. Because that ambassador is representing the entire country of France. He can call up and say, do you know what? Do you know? The Prime Minister of India slapped me in the face and called me a this and that. Acha? Okay, war! So if you slap the ambassador, you may be slapping France. You understand? He's the ambassador. That means he's one man ambassador, right? Representing the entire country. So Guru is one personality, but he's representing the entirety. He's the representative of the entirety of the power of God, what the speak call the demigods. Because Krishna, and later in the verse, he says, Sarva Deva Maya Guru. Sarva Deva Maya Guru. The Guru is Sarva Deva Maya. Sarva Deva Maya. The Guru, Maya means composed of, concentrated, the energy. All the Sarva Devata, 33 lakhs of demigods, or whatever it is, crores lakhs, 33 lakhs of demigods, they're all within the Guru. Indra, Chandra, Varun, Surya, they're all within the Guru. Krishna's telling, Sarva Deva Maya Guru. Shukracharya's Guru, Daitya Guru. He's a Kulacharya. The verse says, Kulacharya. Kulacharjena. He's the Acharya of the Kula, of the dynasty. Dynasty of what? Daityas. He was a Guru. He's a Guru of all the Daityas. And Bali's a Daitya. Hiranyakashipu's a Daitya. Prahlada's a Daitya. He's coming in his dynasty. When you say Gotra, like Gotra? Gotra means like dynasty. Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad, Prahlad, Virochan, Virochan, Bali. It's a father, grandfather, like this. Parampara. Daitya. Daitya Parampara. Demon Parampara. So he's a Guru. So he offended. So Sanatana Goswami is saying. So a Nivritti Guru like Shukracharya, he gives instructions which are not favorable to surrender to God. So Shukracharya, he was giving instructions were not favorable to the surrender to the Lord. So as a Pravritti Guru, Shukracharya was teaching, what was he teaching? He was teaching his disciple how to enjoy. He was teaching Bali Maharaj how to enjoy. He was giving instructions how to enjoy happy life. The art of living. The art of living happily. Live happily. Live peacefully. Enjoy. Enjoy. Enjoy and stay here. Stay in the material world and enjoy. This is the art of living. The art of living, there's every coin has two sides. You flip a coin, it has heads and has tails, right? One side some lions and other side some Gandhi picture or something. Some lions or some coin you flip. Or no, now it goes like this. 2 rupee coin or some hand like this. You ever saw a 2 rupee coin? On one side of the coin there's some hand like this. I don't know what that means, I don't know, something. Victory or something. On the other side is some lions or something. So if one side of the coin is the art of living. So what's the other side of the coin? The art of dying. Because everyone that takes birth has to die. So you take birth, and then you learn the art of living. And then you get old, and you learn the art of dying. So when you're young, you learn the art of living. And when you're old, you learn the art of dying. And you die. So this is Pravritti Guru. Teaches you the art of living. And I forgot to tell you, I'm also teaching the art of dying. Because if you follow the art of living, then you will die and live and die and live and die and live and forever. Because I'm a Pravritti Guru. And I'm teaching you how to stay in the material world. And I'm not teaching you to surrender to God. And I'm not teaching you to dedicate your life to God. So I'm Pravritti Guru. Pravritti Guru. Shukracharya is Pravritti Guru. So Pravritti Guru, what is a Pravritti Guru? Pravritti Guru, he's very concerned with the material happiness of his disciple. And if you go in the marketplace, if you go in Delhi right now, there are so many gurus teaching exactly this, Pravritti Marg. And everybody goes there because people go to a Pravritti Guru because they're not happy. They're agitated, they're not peaceful, they don't feel a sense of fulfillment. There's something missing in my life. I have money, I have health, I have influence, I have good house, good bungalow, but there's something missing. Oh no, you come to my guru. So he speaks something and gives you something. Oh, now I have something. But he just teaches you how to feel good about or think rightly or how to adjust your... He teaches you how to fine-tune your mind, fine-tune your thinking or fine-tune your mind so that you can actually feel good about whatever you're doing. Although within yourself, if you have a few drops of morality, or if you have a few drops of punya karma within yourself, a few drops, you may feel a gnawing desire, or some, you can say, itching within your mind or heart for something more, for something deeper. Is there something more than material life? Is there something more than just eating and sleeping? Is there something higher idea, like divine idea or spiritual idea? So I'll read something here. So Shukracharya is Pravritti Guru. He's teaching Balaraj how to act to keep his kingdom and enjoy material happiness. He was not concerned with the spiritual welfare of Bali Maharaj. So the modern gurus are not really concerned with the spiritual welfare. How can you have spiritual welfare without God? It's impossible. Spirit, what is spirit? Spirit means Atma. Atma Paramatma. This is spiritual. They say spiritual. In English they say quasi-spiritual. Quasi. Q-U-A-S-I. Quasi. Not really spiritual. This is the thing. The Srimad Bhagavatam glorifies Bali Maharaj's choice. He chose spiritual welfare by rejecting his guru. So that's what he was thinking about. My guru is telling me to reject Vaman Maharaj and follow him, and reject God and follow him. But guru is supposed to lead me to God. And guru, he told me, Shukracharya, he told me all the different ways and places and people that I'm supposed to give charity to. And he said that the highest form of charity is Brahman Dan or Vishnu Dan. And now Vishnu has come before me. Now he's telling me he's speaking opposite. So he had to think. He had to be silent for a moment. Then he made his decision. So it's actually right. We should choose spiritual welfare and reject a material guru. You see in Bhagavad Gita, in the Kurukshetra battle, what does Krishna tell Arjuna? Krishna tells Arjuna, kill your guru. Who is the guru of Arjuna? Dronacharya. The very weapon that he used to kill his guru, he learned how to use that weapon from his guru. Here, let me teach you how to use a bow and arrow. Okay, you go like this. These are mantras. Okay. Thank you very much, Guruji. I will use the arrow on you. It's like Brikasura. One demon called Brikasura. Brikasura did heavy tapasya, worshipping Shiv. He got the blessing. He said, oh Shiv, please give me blessing. I want the power that whoever I touch with my finger, if I touch with my finger, their head will crack in pieces. That's very powerful. Just put finger, finish. So then he got that power. As soon as he got the power, then Brikasura said, let me crack your head, Shiva. This is really Guru Avagya. Guru Avagya, disregarding the guru. He got the power from guru. He immediately wanted to try it on. Oh, I have this power to crack anybody's head. Let me try it out on the guru. And Shiva started running away. Then Krishna came and saved him. So this is the point that Bhagavad Gita, Dronacharya taught Arjuna how to shoot the arrows, and then Krishna said, oh, that's very good. He taught you how to shoot the arrows. Now kill the person who taught you how to shoot the arrows. So that means killing the guru. But this was the right, at this point, at this particular situation, this is the right thing to do. Because the question can be asked, how can you shoot arrows at your guru when you should be offering pushpanjali, flowers at the lotus feet of your guru? But what's the problem? The problem is that Dronacharya, he chose the wrong path. Dronacharya chose the path of pravritti marg, material happiness, devoid of God, no interest in God. So it's the same thing that we have with Bali Maharaj and Shukracharya. So a guru should be rejected if he does not know the proper and improper actions. If a guru obstructs his disciple from doing the right thing, and the guru is whimsical and not following the shastras, just following his own personal idea, that guru should be rejected. And then it's not an offense. Because if a guru is not teaching shastra, shastra vidvan, he's not basing his presentation on shastra, and that's pretty much the modern guru. The modern guru is called what we call self-styled guru. We have self-made man. We self-styled guru. And he has to present, if he wants to start a new movement, he has to start something new. But the old adage is, nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. The sun has been shining for millions of years. Millions of years people take birth, they get old, they get diseased, and they die. No matter how many computers they have, how many medicines they have, how many M scans they have and XYZ scans and all kinds of high technical equipment for diagnosis and radiation therapy and laser light therapy and this therapy and all the latest innovations. Are people still getting diseased? Yes. Are people still dying? Yes. But we have so much technology. Is it stopping old age and disease and death? No. How much, if you compare the amount of technology and scientific advancement that's available today to 300 years ago, it is phenomenal. Phenomenal increase. Now, if you take today's technology and you increase this to phenomenal proportions 100 years from now, will that super increase in technology, will that be sufficient enough to stop old age and stop disease and death? No. Because there is nothing new under the sun. For millions of years, the sun has been shining. For millions of years, people are taking birth, getting old, diseased, and dying. Despite all, with technology or without technology. With cell phones or without cell phones. So this same point is going on. Vishnu Chakravarti says, why did Bali Maharaj fall silent? Bali Maharaj was taking time out to reflect on the instruction of his Shukracharya not to follow Vamanadeva. When Bali Maharaj was silent, this is what the most amazing thing is about Vishnu Chakravarti. He is like a great yogi. We read in the ancient Puranas that some yogis had the ability to enter other people's bodies. That's one yoga, Prapti City, Anima City, Lagima City. Different cities, different perfections. I think there's some story about Ramanuja or something like that. He entered some body of a king. Ramanuja is only about 1,000 years ago, 1,200 years ago, the great Acharya Ramanuja. And there was some debate with someone, I think it was Ramanuja, some debate with some philosopher who was a Grihastha. And Ramanuja was not married, so he knew nothing about the Grihastha life. So this Acharya was challenging Ramanuja. He said, I want to challenge you on some philosophical point about this man, woman, and Grihastha situation. And he knew that he would defeat Ramanuja because Ramanuja had no basis of logic or experience, no being a brahmachari. So Ramanuja said, we'll just wait 2 weeks. So then Ramanuja went to another kingdom where there was one king, and he entered the body of that king. By his mystic power, he left his body in Samadhi, Ramanuja, and he entered the body. And he lived in that king's body for 2 weeks, or 1 month. There were so many queens and all these things that kings have. And he got good experience. 1 month was enough. Well, very smart, very intelligent. 1 month of marriage and 20 queens or 30 queens in 1 month or whatever. That was enough. He had his full. So then he went back to that Acharya. He said, yes, let us debate. So then he debated on whatever that point was, I forget. And he defeated him. And that Grihastha Acharya was a big pundit. How is it possible your whole life Nastik Brahmacharya? He didn't tell the secret, but this was the secret. So even 1,000 years ago, they could enter. So Vishnu Chakravartipad, he has the power to enter into the mind and the heart of the gopis, of Bali Maharaj, of anybody throughout the Bhagavatam. Vishnu Chakravarti, he'll tell you what they're thinking, what they're feeling. It's quite amazing, isn't it? So here, in his tika, he's saying that because the verse is only saying, Tushnim Shanam. Bali Maharaj, the Guru said, listen, you're my Shishya. Bali Maharaj, don't give in charity to this little boy. He's not a little boy. He's Vishnu. Will take away everything. I'm warning you. This is my order. Guru Agya. Don't give. Let me think about that. Silent. As soon as the disciple gets order from Guru, yes, Gurudev, yes, Gurudev, yes, sir. Like in the office, yes, sir, yes, sir. Why? So Vishnath is saying, he was reflecting in Bali Maharaj in his silence. This is what Bali Maharaj was thinking. Vishnu Chakravarti is going to tell us. And Bali Maharaj, this Leela of Bali Maharaj and Vaman Maharaj is in Satyuga, I believe. Is it Satyuga? But Bali Maharaj is in Satyuga about 3 million years before Vishnu Chakravarti took birth. So that's very, very powerful. When you can read somebody's mind, you can read the mind of someone who was living 3 million years ago. Amazing. Even in this world, sometimes if you're a very sattvic person or yogi, you can read other people's minds. That's also, there are about 84 different cities, 84 different mystic powers. The Ashta cities are very big cities. Lagima city to become lighter than the light is Anima. Prapti city, Kamavasyata city, Prapti city. There's 8 major cities called Ashta cities. But there's another 80 or 75 minor cities. And one of the minor cities is to read other people's minds. It's not very difficult. If one is very, very sattvic in all their behavior, eating, sleeping, everything, they can actually read other people's minds. Living now. Not. So if you're someone maybe in a room with a few people and you're sitting there and you focus on someone, you can actually read their mind. And so you're thinking about this. And so, what's up? And then they can tell you, like, you feel very embarrassed because they know what you're thinking. Everyone tries to sit there like, well, yes, I'm in this class, I'm listening. I'm in this class, but my mind is thinking about that new movie that just came out in Greater Kailash in the cinema. My friend told me this afternoon, I'm thinking I have to go see that, and whatever. So the mind is over there. So the person says, hey, why are you thinking about the movie? Not listening to the lecture. Vishnath entered the mind of Bali Maharaj 3 million years ago. This is what Bali Maharaj was thinking. This is why he was silent. Why was he silent? I read the Bhagavatam. It said he was silent. So then the philosopher asked the question, why? Why is he silent? Hey, you read the Bhagavatam. Why was Bali Maharaj silent? Oh, I don't know. He fell asleep. You know, like in Bhagavatam class. Guruji speaking Bhagavatam class and we fall asleep. I also become silent. I become silent in the class. Not only I become silent, I become unconscious. Because when you're unconscious, you don't speak, no? Well, sometimes you talk in your sleep. That's also there. So this is the point. Bali Maharaj is thinking, my guru is telling me to act against the will of God. Therefore, he has now lost his guruship. Shukracharya is now a fallen guru, which means he's not a guru, and he's therefore not my guru. If I disobey my guru, there will be no fault or offense on my part if I disobey the order that he has given me. Because Shukracharya, right now, he is not acting like a guru. If I disobey Shukracharya, I will not actually disobey the orders of my guru, because Guru will never ask me to do pratikul to Krishna, go against him. Because if you don't reject your guru, if he's going against God, then when the disciple will also fall down. If one has a falling guru and he doesn't reject the guru, then the disciple also falls down. So these are all the thoughts of Bali Maharaj. So then he decided that there's no fault if I disobey, quote, a fallen guru. Then Bali Maharaj acted without doubt. He said, Bali Maharaj said, yes, I do not want, oh Guruji, Sukracharyaji, I do not want to refuse or not do anything that you ask me. But Guruji, what you said, what you told me about not giving him charity, this is good for a Grihamedhi. This is good for a person who is interested in material enjoyment. But this is not for a person interested in liberation. So I don't want, he's saying, I don't want to be a Grihamedhi. Bali Maharaj is saying, I don't want to be a sense enjoyer. I want to be a Muktivad body. I want liberation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bali Maharaj is given as an example of Atmanivedanam. This is a very interesting point also. Atmanivedanam means surrender. Bali Maharaj is, his great-great-grandfather is Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam Nava Vida Bhakti. These are 9 ways to worship God. To hear about God, to chant His name, remember Him, do puja, archan, offer prayers, Vandanam Stuti Stotram, become His servant, become His friend, have a friendly mood, friendly attitude towards God, and then ultimately surrender everything, body, mind, words. Mantan Dan Krishna Samarpan. Surrender body, everything. Body surrendered, this means this is more than Sakyam. Sakyam is friend, bosom friend, Sakyam. But this Atmanivedanam implies Madhurya. Because in Madhurya, the wife gives body, mind, everything is given to husband. Not just mind or some friendship or some joking or playing, but body, everything. So this Atmanivedanam means to give everything to God, which is the ultimate. So Bali Maharaj, he's a representative. He's an exemplar of this particular form of devotional expression, giving everything to God on one level. But the highest level of giving everything to God is the gopis of Vrindavan, the Braja gopis, because they sacrificed everything for the pleasure of Krishna. Swajanam, swajanam, aryapatam, chahitvam. Dustijam, swajanam, aryapatam, chahitvam. They sacrificed their families, they sacrificed their relatives, their name, their fame, their shame, their everything they sacrificed to offer their body, minds, and words for Krishna's pleasure. So they're the greatest Atmanivedanam bhaktas of the Lord, the gopis of Raj. But in case of Bali Maharaj, it's a very interesting discussion. Bali Maharaj wasn't a devotee. He was not a devotee, because he's daitya, he's a demon. He wasn't a devotee or surrendered. This is a very interesting point, because what happened is Bali Maharaj, Vamanadeva says, I want 3 steps of land and charity. So Bali Maharaj said, all right. So then he took the first step. Vaman Maharaj became so big, Trivikram, he's called Trivikram. The first step, he took up the whole, a whole earth planet. And the second step, he went beyond the whole material creation. Then there was nothing left. In 2 steps, he covered the entire universe, Vaman. Then Vaman, he asked Bali Maharaj, you said you would give me 3 steps of land. With 2 steps of land, I've taken the whole universe, all your planets and beyond all the planets that you're controlling. Now, what about your promise to give me 3 steps of land? Where shall I place my 3rd step? Bali Maharaj is thinking, oh, okay, my head. All I have left is my head. This is the only land mass I have left. This is the only area I have left. It's not 1 acre, it's not a half an acre. It's not even 1 square yard. It's not even 1 square foot. This head is not even 1 square foot. It's nothing. Anyway, I can give my head. So then he offered his head. So the acharyas are saying, that is when it wasn't, he didn't actually, until Lord Vishnu put his lotus feet on Bali Maharaj's head for the 3rd step, only then when he contacted the touch of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, that's when Balimraj became a devotee, and that's when he surrendered everything. Now this is an interesting point, because we can say he gave everything he had. What do you have? You have your money, your land, your house, your influence. So he gave it all. In two steps, it was all gone. So that, if say for example, someone says, oh, if you become a devotee of Krishna, he'll take away everything. So I became a Krishna devotee, I lost my house, I lost my land, I lost my family, I lost all my money. Oh, you lost everything. Yes, I lost everything. Krishna took away everything. I lost everything. I'm just totally surrendered. I'm a Sharanagati Vaishnava. I'm totally surrendered to God. He's taken everything away. I have nothing. Nirmama. Nirmama. Nothing is mine. No. He was still not a devotee and still not surrendered. When Vishnu, Vamana, put his foot on the head of Balimraj, and Balimraj bow down at the ground, then that with that third step, when he touched the feet of Vishnu, then he finally surrendered, because he donated his ego. He donated his ego to Lord Vishnu. Because up until that time, there's no real surrender. You'd give all your money, all your property, this, that. But until we give the ego to Vishnu, until the ego is surrendered to Vishnu, you're not really pure devotee and not really surrendered. And Vishnath is telling this. This is when he gave the ego, then he became known as Atmanavedanam Bhakta. That he is the exemplar, the example of surrender. Oh, this devotee's really surrendered, Prabhu. Do you know this devotee had a big house in JK1? He gave it to the temple. Acha. And he had a Ferrari, and BMW, and a Rolls Royce, and a Porsche. That's not bad. A Ferrari, a BMW, a Rolls Royce, and a Porsche. And he had a Maruti also, just to be Indian. And he gave all those five cars to the temple. And do you know that he had 300,000 crores in the bank? He gave it all to ISKCON. He's really surrendered. Acha. But did he give his ego? Oh, well, no. He didn't give his ego. It's easy to give money out with ego. So this is a speciality. This is why this demon Balimraj became so special, because he surrendered his ego. And basically, ego is everything. When we say, oh, I gave everything. I am destitute, I'm poor, I'm Niskinchan, I gave everything to God. Even so-called Niskinchan sadhus. I am nothing, I only have my kopins. I'm Niskinchan, I'm Digambara. I have nothing, I'm just wandering. Or they say they have kopin. I'm Niskinchan sadhu. But then, by chance, if you take their kopins, hey, you took my kopins. So even there, they can be attached to their kopin. There's this ego, this sense of propriety or possession or who I am. It's still not there. The point is that surrender is very, very difficult. The principle is the owner is more valuable than his possessions. Right? The owner is more valuable than his possessions. That's the principle. Basically, that's the sutra for what I've been saying. I can give all my possessions, my money, my 100 crores, my 4 sports cars, my Maruti, my 100,000 crores, everything I can give. Those are my possessions, my property. Balimraj, so much property. Well, what's the ultimate property we have in our possession? We're the owner. I can give you everything, but I can't give myself. The self means Atma, Atmanavedan. This is the point. Owner is more valuable than his possessions. So Balimraj's body, the head of his body, is more valuable than the entire universe, which was his domain. So the surrender of Balimraj occurred not when he gave his kingdom, but when he gave himself, his Atma, which was represented by his head under the lotus feet of Vamanadeva. Atmanavedan means surrendering the self. Not giving your money. Okay, big deal, you gave your money, this, that. When Balimraj put his head underneath the feet of Lord Vaman, Offering his head means my Lord, I am offering myself, I'm offering my ego, my sense of identity, everything yours. This was at that point when he put his head at the feet of the Lord, when he finally surrendered his ego to the Lord, then he became a Sharanagati Vaishnava, a surrendered Vaishnava. And that same principle applies to us. When that will come, only we know. The surrender is very difficult. Sacrifice. It's very difficult to sacrifice one's ego or atma. But that was Bali Maharaj's surrender. Only at that point was Bali Maharaj accepted as a devotee. When Vamanadeva first came to the assembly of Bali Maharaj, he was not yet a devotee. What happened when Vamanadeva put his foot on the head of Bali Maharaj, Bhakti Devi entered Bali Maharaj's body. Until that time, he was a daitya, a demon. He was an educated demon. He was a powerful demon. He was a pious demon. In one sense, he was religious. He was following his guru. He had his guru who was teaching him the art of living. Pravritti Marg. Pravritti Marg guru. But he was not a bhakta. He was not a devotee. So Bhakti Devi came. Bhakti Devi is Amsha. She's an Amsha of Radharani, expansion of Radharani. She's a Shakti. Vaman is Krishna. Well, that Shakti is Bhakti Devi. So Bhakti Devi came out from the body. Bhakti Devi, devotion, came from the body of Vamanadeva and entered into the body through the feet with a transfer, a Shakti. Shakti, we say Shakti stick, Shakti pat. It was a transfer. The foot of Vamanadeva became the transfer instrument. Because the foot of Vamanadeva was on the head. It means the foot of Vishnu was on the ego. The head was representing the ego. So when the foot of Vishnu is placed on our ego, when our ego is underneath the foot of Vishnu, then what happens? Bhakti Devi enters our ego. Pure devotion enters our ego, which means our ego becomes identified with Bhakti Devi, which means our ego or sense of identity becomes full of devotion. Aham Bhakta. Aham Bhakta. I am Bhakta. I am devotee. I am Vishnu Bhakta. So that foot, all of us, we are not really devotees. We are not really Sharanagata, Vaishnavas. We are on the path of surrender. We are not Atmanivedanam. We're on the first step, Shravanam. Shravanam Dasha. Shravanam Dasha. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. The end is to surrender the ego, but it begins by here. You can never surrender your ego until you hear about God. Who is God? Who am I? What is karma? What is sattva? What are all these things? So Bali Maharaj got a special mercy because he so fortunate. Why did he get so much fortune? Because his great-great-grandfather is Prahlad Maharaj. And Lord Nisringadeva told him in the beginning of Satyuga when he killed his father, everybody that comes in your family, Prahlad, will always be dear to me. What does it mean, dear to me? It means that he's appearing right there in Bali Maharaj's house. Bali Maharaj is a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. So Vamanadeva, you have to be pretty dear to God for God to come and give you darshan. We say he's a demon. Well, if he's a demon, what am I? He's a demon and he got darshan of Vishnu. Are you having darshan of Vishnu? Devotees have darshan of Vishnu. And in this case, a demon's having darshan. So I'm not a devotee because I'm not having darshan. I'm not even a demon of the quality of Bali Maharaj because he's a demon and he got darshan. So where do I stand? I'm not a devotee because I'm not getting darshan. And I'm not a demon like Bali Maharaj. I'm less than a demon. I have no rating. You don't rate, man. You don't rate. No rating. It was very nice. Bhakti Devi entered the body of Bali Maharaj through the foot of Vishnu. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Sri Guru Charanaravindam. Sri Guru Charan. The Guru Charan is Vishnu Charan. We just said, Acharya Mam Bijanayan. Acharya Mam Bijanayan. Krishna Kacharan, Guru Kacharan. From the Charana Vamanadeva, from the feet of Vamanadeva is coming Bhakti Devi. The story is telling this point. Yes? No. Yes? From the feet of Vamana Maharaj is coming Bhakti Devi into the body of Bali Maharaj. Why? Because he did Atmanivedanam. What is Atmanivedanam? It means surrendering everything. What is everything? Everything is my ego. That's the whole universe. Bhur, Bhuva, Swa, Janalok, Maharlok, Tapalok, Satyalok. Everything, the entire expanse of the universe is contained in three letters. E, G, O. I don't mean CEO, I mean EGO. You may be the CEO, which means you have a big EGO. Chief Executive Officer means EGO, CEO. CEO, right, CEO means Chief Executive Officer. And MD, Managing Director, means you have a big, big hunkar. Big, you have a very, very big ego, which will be very difficult to surrender. And it's highly unlikely that Vishnu is going to come into your office and put his foot on your head. However, Vaishnava Kripambudhi. Vaishnava is ocean of mercy. Kripambudhi. Ambudhi means ocean. Anandambudhi Vardhanam. That Kripambudhi Vaishnava, that Sharanagata Vaishnava, that Guru, that Nivritti Marg Guru, he may come to teach you, oh, my dear CEO, please you come to my Art of Dying classes. I am teaching Art of Dying. Achcha, Art of Dying? I'm not very interested. Because then no more CEO. CEO Khatam Ho Gaya. D-E-A-D, dead. So this is the... But the Guru will come, the merciful Guru will come and say, please, he will come and Guru will come on behalf of Vishnu. Guru will come and put his feet on the head of the surrendered disciple. And that surrendered disciple will receive Bhakti Devi through the mercy of Guru. Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam Ki Jai. This is some small point about Bali Maharaj. I mentioned in the beginning of the class, we discussed something about Guru. Now I want to discuss something about disciple. Three kinds of cheaters. Not only disciple, but even very high class disciples, high class devotees. There's four levels. There's three levels of cheaters and one level, the non-cheater. So first we'll describe the three levels of cheating. And then we'll describe the one that's not cheating. So the word that's used for cheating is kapat. There's a book called Brihad Bhagavatamritam by Sanatana Goswami. And he's giving a commentary in the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam, of course, in a very summary way, discusses various avatars and incarnations of the Lord. The Dasa avatar there described in detail. Then finally, Krishna is described in 10th canto. One half of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 50% of the verses in Srimad Bhagavatam are in 10th canto, describing Krishna. There's 18,000 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam and 12 cantos, Dvadasa canto, whatever it is, Skanda, Dvadasa Skanda. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, there are about 10,000 verses, 9,000, something like this. So 50% of the Srimad Bhagavatam is 10th canto, and 10th canto is all about Bhagavan Sri Krishna. But there's also cantos about Bhagavan Ram, Bhagavan Nisringa, and Vaman, and all different avatars are there, Das Avatar. So the Brihad Bhagavatamritam is a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the same points, the same basic points that are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam are described in the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, 500 years ago by Sanatana Goswami. As Shukadeva Goswami and Vyasadeva were describing Ram Lila in brief, and different points of Ram Lila and the Parishads of Ram, Sita Devi, Hanuman, etc., in the basic story, Sanatana Goswami also describes about Ram Lila. So he talks about Hanuman, because Hanuman is Bhakta, Bhakta Hanuman, Dasyarati, Dasyarati Hanuman. But in the context of describing Hanuman, he uses a very, very heavy word. In one shloka in Sanskrit, he says Hanuman was kapat. Hanuman was a cheater. Hanuman was a cheater? Acha? How is it? Hanuman, how is it possible? And he describes. Actually, in Hanuman's own words, he describes. In the verse, Hanuman speaking there, of course, through the writer. And this is what the note I took. Sanat Goswami is saying that Hanuman is actually kapat. And it's very interesting because there's different ways to speak Sanskrit. He doesn't say Hanuman is like a cheater. There's something, what we call, you can say he's Vaishnav Praya. Vaishnav Praya. Praya means almost. He's like a Vaishnava. Sometimes he goes to the temple, but sometimes a little Johnny Walker and a little sometimes goes to Las Vegas and America and gambling or goes to Morocco. So he has some small loose ends in his behavior, but basically he's like some kind of Vaishnava. Not like Paka, not Paka Vaishnava, not pure Vaishnava, Shud Bhakta, but he's okay. He goes on Janmashtami and Jai Bhagavan and gives some 101 rupees in the hundi box. He's like that. And he buys some Bhagavad Gita every December, passes them out. Vaishnava Praya. Sanat Goswami doesn't say that Hanuman was like a cheater. He was something like a cheater. He says he is a cheater. Direct. He's the word Hanuman Kapat. He's a cheater. Why? So this is level one. There's three levels of cheaters in this discussion. So this is level one. The first level is everyone in the material world is a cheater. Why? That's us. I'm in the material world. You're in the material world. Why are we cheaters? We're all kapat, sub-low kapate. Everybody's a cheater. Acha? You cheater! You cheater! You cheater! Kapat! Kapat! Kapat Rani. The queen of cheaters. Why? Because everyone in the material world wants to attain happiness for their body. Because they think the body is a self. Indriya Sukha Bhog. Indriya Sukha Bhog. They just want Indriya, the senses. My eyes should be happy. My eyes should be happy. My ears should be happy. My nose should be happy. My tongue should be happy. My sense of touch should be happy. My mind should be happy. How? By material things. By my material body interacting with material places and material objects and material people, I will get Indriya Sukha Bhog. Indriya Sukha Bhog. This is cheating. Kapa. So that, we just finished the whole material world. That's level one cheater. So they're basically into bhukti, just gross sense gratification. Now, level two cheater, so you can see where you stand. Level two. Are you in level one, class one, class two? Class one cheater? Class two, three, like this. This is class two. Class two, the second level, like we have karate, kung fu, there's black belt, degree one, degree two. This is kapat number two. Kapat level two. Kapat. He has some higher idea because he realizes that the material body is not actually the self. My real identity is soul, atma. I am atma. Aham atma. Aham brahmasmi. I am Brahman. I am eternal. I am eternal. Sat. Shit, I'm consciousness. So he is kapat because he wants to attain happiness not by Indriya Sukha Bhog. He wants to attain happiness by mukti prapti. He wants mukti. Brahma Sayuja mukti, merge into Brahman. So that's also cheating. He's also kapat. Cheating. Now the third level cheater. Now we have to get nervous now because this starts to hit right at home. This is a third level, third degree kapat. Third degree black belt in karate. Karate. Third degree black belt. So this is third degree kapat. So we should be happy to know that we're not on level one. Nobody in this room is on level one. Most all of us are third level kapats. We're like advanced, no? Level one is not very advanced. He's a beginner kapat. Level two, he's a little more advanced kapat, better, bigger cheater. But now level three, he's a very big cheater. This is the third level kapat. This level, he realizes that I am a spiritual being, I am Atma, I am eternal, but actually I'm individual. My real identity, my sarup, I have a sarup, my real identity is to serve God. I should serve Krishna. And if I serve Krishna, I will get happiness by serving God. I will get happiness by serving Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Oh, this is nice. I want to be happy. I don't want to be happy with Johnny Walker and all this stuff. Pizza, pasta, naraka, rasta. Pizza, pasta, naraka, rasta. I don't want this. I want to eat Krishna prasad. Chapan bo. Nathji prasad. Rasgulla. Sandesh. Puri, samosa. But prasad. Hey, it's really good. Oh yeah, first offer it. Krishna, here, take this. Krishna, take it's puris, it's rajma, lots of ghee. Oh, that's what you say. Oh, I say good. But first Krishna, yes, first Krishna. Don't look. So this is third level cheater. Want to be happy. Happiness by gross bodily sense enjoyment. Happiness by higher consciousness, by higher ideas. Spiritual idea, oh, I am a soul, I'm a consciousness. It's also cheating. Then the third level is, I want to go back to Godhead. I don't like it here. Birth and death is not nice. Old age is not nice. Disease is not nice. It's not good to eat rajasic food and tamasic food, black dog and Johnny Walker and all these things. It's nice. This prasad is nice. I feel good. Don't you feel happy eating prasad? Yeah, right. Don't you feel happy getting up early in the morning and taking a bath and wearing clean clothes? And yeah, sattvic bhog. It's called sattvic bhog. Sattvic bhog. There's tamasic bhog. Level one cheater. And then there's rajasic sattvic bhog. Level two cheater. And then sattvic bhog. It's also cheating. So most devotees are on third level, third degree kapat. I'm serving Krishna because he makes me happy. I feel good chanting Hare Krishna. I feel good reading Mangalarti, getting up early, cold shower, eating pure vegetarian food. This is also a form of kapat, cheating. We're doing seva and serving Krishna because it makes us happy. The actual purpose and the goal of my serving and seva is my happiness. That's cheating. Happiness coming from serving Krishna is called seva sukh. Atma sukh, mukti. Indriya sukh, this bhog, this body enjoyment, Indriya sukh. Indriya sukha bhog, Atma sukh, and seva sukh. In the whole world, in the whole material world, and all the Vaikuntha planets included, are different degrees of cheating. Kapat. And this is the point that Sanatana Goswami is showing in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Because even he's saying Hanuman is a cheater, because Hanuman is explaining his own words. I'm getting so much happiness from chanting Ram's name. I'm getting so much happiness from serving Ram. So he says this, he is getting seva sukh. Because Ayodhya is a Vaikuntha planet. And everyone in Ayodhya, they're getting sevasukh. They have nice position, they're eating nice prasad, Vishnu prasad, Mah prasad. Now we come to the fourth level. The fourth level is the kapat-free zone. Kapat-free zone. They make one of those signs like this, and you write kapat. There's a red circle like this, and you write kapat. And then you write, put a red line like this, right? Red circle and a red line, that means no, right? No parking. You have a car inside there, and it means no parking. There's a black car, black automobile inside, and a red circle like this, right?
Yes.
That means no parking, right? Or a cigarette. There's a cigarette in there. It means no smoking. So you write kapat. Red circle and a thing like this. No kapat. Kapat-free zone. That is Vrindavan. Yeah. Braja Gokul. There is no cheating there. How so? How so? How is there no cheating? Because every single Brijvasi, they only think of the happiness of Krishna. And never for one second do they think of their own happiness. Never for one second. Whatever Krishna wants, I want. Whatever will make Krishna happy, that's what I want to do. Whether he makes me or breaks me or wakes me or whatever he does with me, takes me or makes me or forgets me or breaks me, it doesn't matter. Ashlishyavam parvatam panashchamam and arshanam mamatam karotiva yata tada vavaranatam apatam apranatasus nevanapa. So this is the only plane. It's the only place in the entire creation, all in the tripad vibhuti, the material creation, the ekpad vibhuti, the whole Vaikuntha realm, the vast, unlimited millions and billions of planets in Vaikuntha, there's only one planet, one place where there's no cheating. That is Goloka Vrindavan. So how will we ever get to Goloka Vrindavan if we are cheaters? Third level cheaters, second level cheaters. Basically, in one sense, although Sanatana Goswami is saying most of us are third level cheaters, we're actually on all three levels. We want Indriya Sukh, we want to be merged in Brahman, and we want the happiness of chanting Hare Krishna and be happy. So we're like three-time losers, three-time cheaters. But we should understand that the realm we're going to, imagine, inconceivable to imagine, but imagine living in a realm where no one is cheating anyone. Because the desire for personal happiness or Atma Sukh or Indriya Sukh or Seva Sukh, that's also kapat, it's also cheating, it's also selfishness. It's also me, it has some degree of me-centered. And there's that's explained even you go into Dwarka region, because from the earth planet as you move higher and higher and closer to Goloka Vrindavan, there's less and less cheating. And Vaikuntha there's less and less, but there's still some cheating. Then even when you get closer to the center of Vrindavan, you pass through different petals of the Goloka Vrindavan world, the lotus, and the outer one petal is Dwarka. And one petal is Mathura, and then the center of the lotus is Braj, Vrindavan itself. So that petal of Dwarka is there, there's a type of rati there, a type of love of the Dwarka Mahishis. It's called Samanjasarati. Samanjasarati is also cheating. Because they have some slight desire to derive some happiness from Krishna. It's called Samanjasa. Then in Mathura, there's Sadharani, which is of Kubja. She had more desire. She wanted happiness, not from anyone in this world, but from Krishna, but she still wanted happiness. Then you come to the gopis in Vrindavan, and their rati, their loving attachment to Krishna is called Samartha rati. Samartha. Their only object, complete object, everything, their art, their valuable asset, their focus, their concentration, their center is Krishna and Krishna's happiness alone. This is Samartha Rati, only found in the Braja Gopis and in the Brijvasis in general, but specifically in Braja Gopis. This is where you find the full transparency of devotion. Transparent, pure, unadulterated, pure devotion is in the hearts of the Gopis of Vrindavan. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give to this world. Braj Bhakti. Any questions? Actually, there's a whole discussion we gave in Mayapur about different levels of devotees, not disciples also. The question is, we're discussing about cheating, because actually it's all complementary. These two classes are actually, there's a synthesis of the two. We left our class on Vaman Maharaj talking about ego. How he surrendered his ego to Bali Maharaj. That was the proof of his Atmanivedanam, that he gave his ego. So this is our cheating. We're cheating disciples to the degree to how much we haven't surrendered our ego. When we surrender our ego fully, then we're pure disciples. And until that point, that's really how it applies to us. That we're deriving some sevanand, or seva sukh, bliss of seva. And we need that. We demand that. We need that and demand that. For example, if we make an announcement temple and say, well, things are a little tough now, so we'll be serving plain rice 3 times a day. Poor quality plain rice. Boiled rice, no ghee, no sabji. Huh? Hey, how many people will be there next week? Nobody. So, that's a good way. Like Prabhupada says, how do you test who is a lazy man? You set the house on fire. You know that story? And all the lazy men run out, except two guys were burning up, and they came out last. And the king says, they're lazy because I'm so. Take care of them, state support for them. There's a story about a king was complaining to his minister. He said, we have so many lazy men in this state, so many guys on the dole, so many guys on welfare. They're collecting money from the state, they're not working, they say they can't work this, that. And we have this big, big house, this poor man's house, where all the lazy, poor workers, people stay. And the state government is feeding them and clothing and taking care of them. So is there any way we can find out who's really lazy? The king said, I can't afford to maintain all these lazy people. What to do, minister? He said, listen, we should set this house on fire at night when all the lazy men are sleeping there. And if anyone will see how many people come out, how many people run out of the house, and whoever runs out, then we know they're not lazy. They have some energy. So they set the house on fire, and there was 200 lazy men in that village, that living in that poor man's house. So 198 men ran out as soon as it caught on fire. And there were two guys on the top floor. They were sleeping. One guy said, hey, I think there's some, I smell some smoke. And then the other guy, his friend, his lazy friend said, I don't know, it's maybe someone's burning some leaves outside. Some leaves, some patta or something. Let's go back to sleep. So they're sleeping, and the guy wakes up and he sees by the door some flames coming up the stairs. And the guy says, oh look, I think there's a fire. I think there's a fire coming. And it's getting very hot. So then his friend said, well, turn on the other side. Roll on the other side. If it's hot on that side of your bed, go on the other side. So on the other side. And then that room started catching on fire. And he said, oh, this room is on fire. And he said, oh, okay, let's move our beds to the other side. So they moved, because the room was starting to get on fire, so they picked up their beds and they moved it to the other corner of the room. Because that side of the room was burning. So on this side, they said, now it's okay, go back to sleep. So the house was practically burned up, and then they went and captured those guys. They rescued them. And there was only two guys. So then the king said, these guys are really lazy. They're so lazy that even the whole house is burning up. What happened? One guy was sleeping on the edge of his mattress. He had his legs stretched out on his bistar. And the edge started catching on fire. He said, hey, come on, my mattress is on fire. He said, just bend your knees. Just bend your knees. You can sleep on half the mattress. So he bent his knees like this, and he said, no, it's really getting hot. So, So then they came running out, and so did the king. So these guys, okay, these are really lazy men. We'll pay for them. We'll feed them. But everybody else, these other 198 guys, put them to work. So this is the thing, and we want to find out who's a real Kapat devotee in any temple. He's a temple president. So tomorrow we can say, actually, as you know, there's been a recession lately. There's been a big recession, and all the life members are complaining they can't make any life members because it's a recession, and we can't bring any money in. So I want to also say there's a slight recession in Prasadam. Prasadam will start receding from today. And starting tomorrow, there'll be plain boiled rice for breakfast and lunch and dinner. Acha, take it. Then that night, so many devotees are packing their bags. So many brahmacharis are packing their bags and calling the phone, "Mom, I'm coming home, and really, I love you too much." And I realize that you're so kind to me. I really miss you, and actually, you're right. I should come home and get married. And living in this ashram, I mean, it's really nice here, but I really miss you. And it's like, oh, really? That's funny. Sudden change. So this is the thing. We all have. So we have, as individual devotees, we have to work on. We can analyze. We can say how much cheating is in me. How much cheating is it within me? The cheating propensity. Yes.
This part from the Bhagavatam on Bali Maharaja's point. So, as you mentioned,
he's a Brahmin, so I should give charity. My guru told me to give charity to Brahmins, and it's a Brahmin. That's why the whole thing. That's all part of the background. Why Brahmin came as a Brahmin. Because Bali was instructed by Shukracharya in all these dharmic principles for Nivritti Marg. It's good. Nivritti Marg means it's good to give charity because you get the benefit. If I give $1 in charity this life, next life I get $4. You get 400% interest. It's a good investment. A very good investment company. Any charity, anything I give in charity in this life, I'll get four times that much next life. So Krishna runs a very good bank. This is a Punya Bank. It's called the International Punya Bank, IPB. You give Shastra Dan or Vidya Dan, or you give some Anadan, you give charity of money or food. Next life you get four times, 400% interest. Whereas if you believe it. If you don't believe it, then you don't give anything and eat all your money and go to hell. That's what everybody does. No one gives any charity anymore. Whatever, if we have good position now or good wealth now, it's because we gave in last life. If you believe it. If you don't believe it, then, well, see what happens next life when you're driving a rickshaw. Now you're driving a BMW, and next life you're pulling a rickshaw. You have a BMW, but you don't give a penny in charity to anybody. You give to your wife, give to your kids, give to your grandkids. That's not charity. Well, it's the same point. The guru, that guru that may be whatever his deficiency is, but still, in order for him to be defined as guru, is that his order has to be within the parameters of Shastra, whatever he gives. As soon as you said whatever deficiency he may have, but if he's giving an order, whatever order he gives, but whatever order he gives within the parameters of Shastra, then that's his guruship. His guruship is he's backed by the Shastra. Whatever order he gives, which is in the service of God, then that you should carry it out. It's everything. But that's the very point, that Shukracharya, he gave an order, he taught Bali Maharaj so much Shastra and so much behavior, and then he changed all of a sudden. There's two points that's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. One point is Shukracharya was afraid of losing. Because Shukracharya, he was a Purohit of Bali Maharaj. The Purohit means you're the guru, means you get dakshin. If my disciple is very wealthy, that means I'm getting big guru dakshin every year on Guru Purnima. If my disciple becomes poor, I get nothing. So it behooves me to make sure my disciple keeps rich. So now my disciple is about to become Daridra. He's about to lose everything. So if my disciple becomes poor, that means what? I become poor. So Shukracharya was actually acting out of the bodily concept of Nivritti Marg himself. So when the guru is acting on a bodily platform, then naturally he's going to make the wrong decisions and the wrong statements. So then he gave an order to his disciple which was contrary to his previous instructions. Previously he's teaching, Shukracharya was teaching Balimraj in the strength of Shastra, you should give charity to Brahmins, you should give charity to Vishnu. Now Vishnu has come as a Brahmin. Two in one. The Brahmin, first of all, he's Brahmin. Why didn't he come as a Kshatriya? Or why didn't he came as a Brahmin? A Brahmin should be received charity. He came as Vishnu, all the more reason to give charity. So you told me, now I'm giving. So and that's why it's said that the Bhagavatam is saying he offended his guru. On one level, he offended his guru. But because he's guru, Shukracharya is taking the post of guru, is representing guru. But at this moment, when he gave an instruction which was against Shastra and against God, then at that moment he wasn't guru. So if at a particular moment in time in the guru-shishya relationship, if the guru gives an instruction which is against Shastra, then he's not a guru at that moment. So then you're not supposed to follow that. That's the very example that's given. Because there's guru, Shastra, and sadhu, but the highest authority is Shastra. Guru is not above Shastra. How can he be above Shastra?